Jesus spoke many times in parables. And a parable is a story, many say, with an earthly story of a heavenly meaning. The children and youth and adults here, I'm sure, have all heard this story. But let's focus on it and listen to it again. And Randy will be sharing with us. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that belongs to me." So the father divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in destitute living. When he had spent everything, he was out of money. And a severe famine took place throughout that country. And he began to be in need. He was hungry. He was homeless. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him to the field to feed pigs. What a job. And he would gladly have eaten the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger." He decided, "I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I want to just be one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and love. And the son ran and put his arms around him and kissed him." Imagine a father and son embracing. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet." He must have been barefooted. "And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. But, now there's a but to this story. The elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked him what was going on. The slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because your brother came back and is safe and sound." And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command, and you have never given me even a young goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this brother, this son of yours, comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." Andy, blessings.
Thank you, Chris, for reading the scripture for us this morning. Good morning, everyone. As I was preparing for this sermon, it's a lectionary text for this Sunday in our Lenten journey. I was on a silent retreat on Monday, and on the bookshelf of this little retreat center that I was in, on the shelf was this book by Henry Nouwen, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And this was Monday as I was preparing, I was like, that's the text for the sermon on Sunday. Of the story, and I picked it up and started reading it, and I've really been shaped by this book for this sermon. And in this book, Henry Nouwen talks about a powerful painting of the prodigal son. And we're going to talk about that story. The painting is by Rembrandt. Art is a powerful thing. Painting is a powerful thing. Painting and art allows our brain to maybe understand the story in a different kind of way that can tell the story that words can't always tell. And as I was reading this book and this painting, which we're going to put up, I would like actually this to be displayed throughout the entire sermon. And I would encourage you to go back to this painting as you're hearing this sermon. I think God is really can speak through this painting and art in a really powerful way. But this painting absolutely captivated Henry Nouwen in the fall of 1983 in the village of Trossely, France. Nouwen was visiting the Liarche community. Liarche is a community that offers a home to people living with mental illness. And he was finding rest in this community in France. And at this particular time, Henry Nouwen, who's passed away, is the late great spiritual Catholic priest. Henry Nouwen was just absolutely depleted at this time of his life. He was teaching at Harvard, rigorous travel schedules. He was discerning his own sense of call and ministry, if he should stay at Harvard or not. And he just shares, I was just depleted. I was tired. And as he was in a conversation at Liarche, and he was talking with his friend Simone Landrian, as he was talking with Simone, his eyes gazed upon this large poster pinned on his friend's door of the prodigal son. His eyes fell upon this man in a great red cloak, tenderly touching the shoulders of a disheveled, tired boy kneeling in front of him. In that moment, Henry Nouwen's eyes could not leave that work of art. It absolutely captivated him. It touched him in his moment of depletion. He felt as if he just had to get near to it. Nouwen says in his book, it reached me in a place that I had never been reached before. And he had realized he lost track of the conversation with his friend from the poster, and he asked his friend, tell me about that print. I need to know more about it. He said, well, that's Rembrandt's Prodigal Son. Do you like it? Yes. I need to get near to it. And so it took two years later, Nouwen was able to get to this painting. In July 26, 1986, Nouwen found himself at a museum in St. Petersburg, Soviet Union. This is where the original Rembrandt painting was held. The original painting by Rembrandt was bought by Catherine the Great in 1766 for the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. He somehow wielded the administration and guards at the museum to be able to have special time in the back to access the original Rembrandt painting. And he sat before this great work, literally for days, pulled up a chair, and just sat with this story, this beautiful painting of the prodigal son. And out of it came two different books, one of them, The Return of the Prodigal Son, and then also Home Tonight, Further Reflections on the Parable of the Prodigal Son. How can a work of art capture someone so deeply? And he reflects so much in these books. I encourage you to read them if you haven't. And I want to explore how this painting and this story of the prodigal son and this theme of open arms, the father's open arms that we've heard about in our singing this morning as well, in worship, how this is so central to the gospel and the theme of the gospel. The parable itself, as we just have heard from Chris, a story about a father with two sons. The youngest comes to him requesting to share the inheritance, which the father gives to him. And the son travels to a foreign land and lives this lavish lifestyle. He wastes much of his money. He's reckless, we are told, and soon the money runs dry. And he finds himself living destitute, working on a pig farm. Now we have to understand, for the Jewish audience hearing this, you can't get any worse than a pig farm if you are a faithful Jew. Swine herders would have been used as, well, a Jewish faithful person would not have been a swine herder. It would have been considered an abhorrent job, with the consideration that pigs are deemed unclean animals. And you can see in this painting here by Rembrandt, that it captures the state of the son. He's captured this. You can see the father and son in the center left of the painting. The prodigal son, dressed in rags, his head shaved, missing a shoe, he appears as an outcast. As the son ponders his predicament, he realizes that his father's servants now have a better life than he does. And he begins his journey back home to beg to become a slave to his father. As he reaches his home, he has a speech prepared. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." Something significant happens there, and I want us to pay attention to it. It's something that we do, have been doing in our worship services every Sunday in the season of Lent. What does he do there? He confesses. He practices confession, which we are going to do after the sermon. "Father, I have sinned against heaven. I am no more worthy to be called your son." It's this recognition of a need for forgiveness, this vulnerable state of kneeling down at his father's feet, recognizing the poor decisions he has made and his need for forgiveness. And before the son can even finish his speech, the father welcomes him in, calling for his sons to dress him in fine robes and a ring as well, a fattened calf to be slaughtered in celebration. And this father's words of love, those are the words of assurance after confession. That even in our confession, God's words of assurance of welcome and love and forgiveness, the father shows. Henry Nouwen writes, "Before now, I was never able to see how the love of the father embraced not just the return of his younger child, but also his running away from home. Perhaps the whole movement of leaving and returning is only one movement rather than two, especially as it is experienced in the loving heart of the father. This is not a parent who says, 'Don't go.' That kind of statement is not keeping with the spirit of this story." See, part of my thing with this story is inviting us into it is how God the Father not just welcomes the son home, but allows the son to also go and make poor decisions. Did the father know as he got all that inheritance that he might squander it? It's very likely he may have. And yet he allowed the son to go and to squander that. In Sunday school, we've been talking a little bit about this question of theodicy and how there's so much brokenness in the world. And how does a loving God work in the midst of all this brokenness? How do we pull that together? And part of what we've talked about is that God gives us free will. God gives us the free will to make poor decisions. to leave home, just as the prodigal son did. To not honor God ourselves. To experience what it is to get greedy, to use violence. God the Father has given the choice. He's not forcing us to stay in His presence. And we see that in the story here. The Father does not force His Son to stay. His Son chooses to leave. And His Father probably knows some of the poor decisions that will be made. Yes, Son, go. And you will be hurt. And it will be hard and it will be painful. And when and if you come back, I am always here for you. I'm here for you now when you're leaving. And I'm here for you when you come back. Now, what about the elder son? Let's go back to the painting here. And most scholars aren't sure actually which one is the elder son, but most agree it's the one on the right, closest to us, kind of looking down. We read in this story in verse 25, this son is working in the fields. He hears the celebration and is told of the return of his brother. And this angers him. And he goes to his father and says, I have served you for all these years. I've never disobeyed a commandment of yours. You never even gave me a goat that I might celebrate. Can we identify with this son at all? This elder son represents a stream of thinking which is linked closely to law, reward, merit. I think in our Mennonite world especially, we need to pay particular attention to the elder son here and maybe how we've been shaped by some of this thinking. It's a bit of an irony, isn't it, in this story, that the elder son is actually just as lost as the younger son, if not more. The younger son had the willingness to turn around, to confess, to come back, to ask for forgiveness. But has the elder son been willing to confront his own lostness yet, of his sense of ego that maybe needed to be checked, his sense of who gets it right and who doesn't, merit and reward? It's very important, I think, in this story that we look at the very first verses of this story, Luke 15, 1-3. Who is Jesus talking to here? He's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes who were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus is making a pretty strong point here that the Pharisees and religious leaders are like the elder son. Who is more lost in this story? Have the religious leaders been willing to come home to the Father and confess their places that need confession, to be embraced by the Father's love? Or do they want to remain lost because it's safer for them, for us? The elder son challenges us in our lostness, this Lenten journey. Coming back again to the Rembrandt painting. Why have I been so captured by this painting myself? I have to ask myself. I mean, Henry Naur was absolutely captured by it, but I have to confess, even as I'm looking at this, there's just something that grabs you, grabs me. Art historian Kenneth Clark describes this as a picture which those who have seen the original in St. Petersburg may be forgiven for claiming as the greatest picture ever painted. Wow. And I think the reason this painting is so powerful, this story is so powerful, is because it depicts the story of so much of what salvation history is about. This story of God and God at work in the world, and the story of Christ and forgiveness and coming home. This has it all. It's the painted gospel, because it's one of the best ways to capture in a picture this need in all of us to come to the Father's feet in this vulnerable state of needing of confession and need for forgiveness. Whether it's coming home in our sin, or it's the elder son needing to come home as well in the places that he can grow. It's this need to come, and then it's this embrace by the loving Father. Whether we are the younger son, the older son, there is this embrace, forgiveness, learning, these open arms that this story captures for us. What if our Lenten journey is this morning this reminder to return to the intimacy, the safety, the acceptance of that relationship in the Father's love that is uniquely present and at home when we are willing to come back? In conclusion, I'd like to go to the next slide. One thing that now keeps coming back to in this book is he says, look at the hands. I'm captivated by the hands. I could not take my eyes off of the hands, he says. In the hands we see forgiveness, reconciliation, healing, rest, being at home. Look at the hands. There's actually two hands in this painting. Very few people notice this at first glance, that there are two different hands, one of a man and the other of a woman. Rembrandt knew that the divine was not merely this man looking upon creation from the sky. He understood that this God, the Father, and yet God, the Mother, is this loving embrace of coming home, that you need the paternal and the maternal to fully grasp what this coming home of love captures. And Rembrandt put that in his painting. Forgiveness, reconciliation, healing, rest, coming home. In conclusion, Henry Nouwen ends his book, Becoming the Father. Henry Nouwen asks, how am I like the younger son? How am I like the elder son? And how am I being called to become more like the Father? Spiritual formation. That's their journey in Lent. How are we being called to become more like the Father? The very character of this love and compassion that we see in those hands. And he says, at the heart of this is the word compassion. To be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. To be formed in the way of the Father. For each of us this morning, as we have reflected on this theme of open arms, sit with this text this week a little bit. Sit with the painting. How are you like the younger son, or the elder son, or how are you growing to be more like the Father and the Mother in the arm, in the hands? What does coming home mean for each of us? What are we coming? How are we each coming home as well? For Henry Nouwen, part of his coming home experience was discerning, am I to give up teaching at Harvard? To be living in the Lay Arch community, in this community of people with mental handicaps. And part of his coming home experience and discernment was realizing that, yes, I need to give up that teaching at Harvard. And all the success and all the money and all the fame that comes with being a Harvard professor. And realizing that coming home for him was to live in the Lay Arch community with his brothers and sisters living with mental health. That was coming home for him. And he says, but more than anything, coming home was learning how to walk step by step toward the one who awaits me with open arms and wants to hold me in an eternal embrace. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this incredible story in the gospel, this story of coming home. Thank you for your open arms of love. And we need to confess, Lord, We need to confess. We need to come to your feet, Lord, and ask for forgiveness often. And so we do that this morning. We thank you for your open arms of love. Thank you that you invite us to come home. In Jesus' name, amen.